It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today as we've come to study the Word of God. We're in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 16, and we have been through most of that chapter. And we're going to tie it together now with the 9th and 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It's always important to understand that the Old Testament and the New Testament is so closely tied together. And so please that you join us today as we enjoy this study. And so while you're looking that up, we're going to Leviticus chapter 16. And if you would like to turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, that would be just fine. And that way, hopefully, you wouldn't have two Bibles and you could do that. So while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341, and you'll find our mailing address. Our email address, if you'd like to check our website, would be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And again, that is our website, and so please take a look at that if you would like to. Leviticus and Hebrews. Now, we're going to read one verse of Scripture, and then we are going to look at the book of Hebrews today, but I hope again that you can have the book open, God's Word, to both areas of Scripture. And so, actually, we're going to take a glance at a couple of verses of Scripture here before we begin with prayer. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 7, "And he shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." And then if we come down now in verse 8, "And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat unto the which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement for him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness." And then we find down in the 14th verse of Leviticus 16, "And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his fingers upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his fingers seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, which of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of the transgressions in all their sins. So shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness." Now, we're going to stop there and begin with prayer. And again, we're going to be back and forth Leviticus and in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse and chapter 10. And so let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come today and enjoy this time. Please that you will guide and lead us as we enjoy this study. It is wonderful to come together and to look at your wonderful word. I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll guide and lead us ever so carefully and prayerfully together, that you will show us the way of salvation, and you will show us, dear Lord, the need, dear Father, to walk with you and to serve you and to praise your precious name. So please today let that take place. I just ask, dear Lord, that you will please lead us as we're enjoying this study now. We know that we have to be a child of God. We must have come by faith to you for salvation, and in order to understand this precious word, and because many of people refuse to study Leviticus and or Hebrews, either one, and Father, we're going to show the ties together and hopefully be a blessing to all that are listening. And dear Lord, most of all, we want to honor and praise you today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These verses of Scripture that we read back in Leviticus here, And there are so many. I mean, we continue in the last study. We looked at the cleansing of the tabernacle itself as they would sprinkle the blood upon the furnishings. And then we came to the live goat in the 20th verse, and I'm going to read down through 22, and then we're going to go to Hebrews. And so Leviticus 16:20, and when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle to the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat into the wilderness. Now, as we look at those verses of Scripture, and now we come over to chapter 9 of Hebrews, and we have just looked at what God has put into place through Moses, and is going to have Aaron to take care of it. Now, we're going to begin with Hebrews chapter 9 and begin with the 11th verse. And as we read this, listen so carefully now, because we're going to find, and if you would like to back up, we can go back to the beginning of the 9th chapter. And it says, verse 1, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary or the holy place. After the second veil, you remember we talked about the veil between, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, or the Holy of Holies is another name, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant, which is the law, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. And the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in the meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, this is the 11th verse now, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, as we look at this verse of Scripture, these verses of Scripture, I want you to, first of all, get a look at the, and we sure could have backed up in Hebrews further. You know, I don't care where we begin, if we begin at the 8th chapter or the 7th chapter. It all connects with the book of Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. If you'll notice back in the 7th chapter, it speaks of a king named Melchizedek, or he was a king and the high priest. And we realize that for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now, I read that just for the reason that you understand, if you don't study the Old Testament, it's very important to study the New. But if you have no understanding of the Old, you will not understand the New. You've got to see that. And the book of Hebrews, to a lot of people, say that it is very, very difficult to understand. And it will be. It'll be almost impossible for you to understand it unless you study the Old Testament. Now, it is impossible to understand any of the Word of God unless you are born again. Now, in order to be born again, you have to trust in this precious blood that we're talking about here. Whether we're talking about it in the book of Hebrews or back in Leviticus, it all points to the same blood, and that's the blood of Christ. Now, back in Leviticus, we had the blood of the animals, the bulls and the goats, for this Day of Atonement. But here in Hebrews, it's tying together that picture that was presented back in the book of Leviticus, and that's some 1,500 years before Jesus went to the cross. God brought forward this picture, this perfect picture of what was to come, or as perfect as this old world can bring together anyway. And so I wanted you to see that. You know, we have had a wonderful study through Genesis, all through Exodus, and I didn't want to take time. I want to get on to a New Testament study, and so we just have jumped all the way to the 16th chapter, because that 16th chapter deals with the Day of Atonement, which is one of the most beautiful pictures in all the Word of God concerning our Lord. We talked about it when we built the tabernacle. We talked about it when Moses received the words of the tabernacle on how to build it. And then we talked about it when Moses came down and told the people what was to come. We talked about it when, at the end of the book of Exodus, and the tabernacle itself was built. We know that they were at Mount Sinai approximately a year in building this tabernacle, from the time they arrived to the time they left. And we know that they were delivered by God's hand out of the nation of Egypt, the land of Egypt. And this time here, this atonement, this Day of Atonement, was a wonderful, wonderful picture of what was to come. Now, we have looked at the 16th chapter. We have read about the two goats and what was to take place with them. Now, we have started a little earlier than I had really planned to in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, and we look at what is going to take place here concerning the new tabernacle, not made with hands. We're going to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We had dropped back into the 7th chapter there just for a minute and read about Melchizedek. Now, do you remember where Melchizedek, where he comes into our study? If you'd go back into Genesis around the 14th chapter is where you will find this man named Melchizedek. Once again, if you would just come into the book of Hebrews and begin to read the book of Hebrews, and you'd get to that 7th chapter, and you would run into trouble prior to that time too, with so many things. The high priest's office. Now, what does that mean to you if you have no understanding of what the high priest's service was and work was? And we really haven't spent a lot of time with that. We will continue to hear. But we have a picture of this man named Melchizedek. It comes clear back into the 4th or 5th chapter here of Hebrews. But you've got to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 14 to find this man named Melchizedek. Well, if you don't understand what he did for Abraham and the combination of the offering that was made by Abraham to Melchizedek when he came back from the Battle of Chedorlaomer. I don't know if you're familiar with all that. You know, Lot was taken captive. Abraham armed his men and went after him and brought him back. And the king of Sodom and Gomorrah was offering a spoil, offering money to Abraham for what he had done. And he says, "My God, he will give me what I need. I don't need anything from you." What a wonderful understanding Abraham had of the Word of God. And he came immediately, though, and he ran into this man named Melchizedek on his return. And the Scripture tells us that he offered him a tithe of all that he had taken. And so we find that this Melchizedek is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read it here in Hebrews, and you come back to Leviticus, or you come back into Genesis, back to the 14th chapter, if you don't understand who this man is, all of a sudden he walks onto the pages here in Hebrews, and you think, what are we talking about? But you see, if you go back to Genesis and study a couple chapters there, you will understand what took place, and then you come to Hebrews, and you says, boy, I understand that now. I understand that. You see, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our King, and He is our High Priest. And Melchizedek was the same, King of Salem. Salem is another name for Jerusalem. Oh, what a beautiful picture. We run into that clear back in the 14th chapter of Genesis. And that is a long, long time ago that we had that study. I believe I've even used a different Bible. Yes, I have. I don't go back into that far. I've worn a Bible out since then. And can't even tell you how long ago it was that we studied that. So I just want you to understand, and we've taken more time than I intended to, that as you read through particularly the first five books of God's Word, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, read those, study those, and they will give you such a strong understanding of the rest of the Word of God. Of course, we can't leave any of them out, because if you study the Judges and 1st, 2nd Samuel, and 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, you come all the way through the book of Jonah. There isn't a book of the Old Testament that you will not find in the New Testament. And so if you will study both, I guess that's my question or my request to you, that you will study both. And I hope that this will wet your whistle. This will get you hungering and thirsting after righteousness to look at the Old Testament and then come into the New Testament. So now, as we have read this ninth chapter, it gives you the complete building of the tabernacle, doesn't it? Now, that's something, because you see, if we would have just started with the ninth chapter, and we would have said, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread and the sanctuary. Now, what would that mean to you? And maybe it doesn't mean anything to you because you've missed that study. But we have looked at that. We've made a cross out of it. We've walked in there from meeting Jesus at the brazen altar to the washing of the laver to the feeding of the table of showbread, the light of the lampstand, the wonderful incense altar, and then on through the veil into the Holy of Holies to meet our God. What a walk. It all means Jesus. So I hope that now, and I hope you've been through that study with me, I hope that you can see that. We've read that now through the ninth chapter, and we get down to the 11th verse. Now, here's really where I intended today to start. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. We built this thing back in Exodus, and we've looked at it. We've looked at that special day, that Day of Atonement. He's referring to this here, and I believe Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews. And now Paul, some 30 years after Jesus had come to earth, lived and died some 30 years before and rose again and then ascended back to his Father. That's where we're at time-wise. We're about 30 years past that. Leviticus back here was 1,500 years before that. When we were back in the book of Exodus, we were about the same timetable because all that was received came from Mount Sinai as far as the plans and the word and everything involved. And so it's about 1,500 years before Christ this beautiful picture was given, but it's been completed. And that's the reason that you need not to be religious, but you need to trust in Jesus. You need to come by faith to him. I just can't, there's nothing I can say that can bring more strength to you. You have to trust in Jesus as your Savior. You just got to come by faith to him, in him alone, and know that he is going to save you and he's going to keep you. Once again, the 11th verse of Hebrews chapter 9, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come. Aaron was the high priest back in the Old Testament. But a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Okay, we're going to use the same building, but this is the new and improved model. This is a perfect model. This isn't made with hands. God made this. I believe Moses saw this tabernacle. I think that's how he knew exactly how to build the one up on earth, because I think he saw this one. A good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. You see, the temple was still there. The tabernacle, that the tent that was designed back here in Exodus, it had been put aside, and there was the temple built, and there wasn't just one. There was a couple of temples that was built. And at the time, the New Testament time here, there was still a temple that existed. God's presence was not there. His power was not there as he was in Solomon's temple, as he was in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. But the picture is still there. And so, as he can say here, not of this building, that they knew what they were talking about. You see, these Jews understood completely what Paul was talking about through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifieth the purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Until Christ finished the work, our sins were just covered. Anybody that lived in the Old Testament times, their sins were covered, and that was all. Their sins were not taken away, because you see, Jesus had not come to the cross. The bull and the goats, the bull for the high priest to take care of his sin, the bullock, and then the two goats on the Day of Atonement that were to, one was put to death and one was, the hands was laid upon it confessing their sin and being led away. Well, what a beautiful picture we have of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. What a wonderful, wonderful picture. And you know, as we see this, as we look at this, we need to understand that our Savior went to the cross of Calvary back in the Old Testament, and that's the reason that we can understand the blood, how precious the blood is. Just when it speaks of it in the small amount of time here in the New Testament, we don't have much of an understanding. But if you bring in the picture of the Old Testament, that's when we have it all. And so you can see the picture that our Savior, what He has done for us, what Jesus has done for you and for me. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God? You see that goats, bullock, they weren't perfect. They couldn't do the work that was required. But Jesus was perfect. He was our replacement. He took our place. He stepped in and took our place. Otherwise, we would still be guilty of our sin. If we were still offering blood, the bulls and goats, and that's somewhat what happened. That's the reason that here 30 years later, Paul is dealing with this. Because even those people that did trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they came by faith, but they kept bringing the offerings and the sacrifices. And you know, it's the same way, my friend, with yourself. If you have called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, but you continue to work your way to heaven, hoping that the day that you die, you have did everything that you need to do, and you will please your God, and He'll accept you. The scripture here in Hebrews is so clear that if Jesus is not enough, nothing is. And for you to continue to offer these bulls and goats as sacrifices, thinking that's going to improve what you have, it's not. And if you think that some action or some work that you do after you have come by faith to Jesus is going to help your odds to get to heaven, it's not. You can't do anything, my friend, to save yourself. You certainly can't do anything to keep yourself. You think about that. It is a work that God has done. A work that was done 2,000 years ago. A work that was set to save our souls. And it did. He did. The person Jesus Christ. And once again, and I think I'm just going to read these verses of Scripture, and then we'll get on to the rest of them next time we come together in closing out the 9th and 10th chapter here. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So we have something else, something somewhere else, and we know where it is. It's in heaven. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of the bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. If it worked then, if it covered the sin then, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? Look at the work that went on at the cross of Calvary. Will you please trust Him and come to Him? And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, we're just going to read a couple more verses here down through, because we'll start with 19 next time. For where a testament is, there must also be the necessity be the death of the testator. For the testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. So you see, clear back in the Old Testament, they used the blood. Here in the New Testament, Jesus sealed it with His blood, finished it. A lot of people deny the precious blood of Christ. They believe He died, they believe He rose again, they believe He ascended, but they deny His blood. You deny the blood of Christ, my friend, you have no salvation, because the Spirit of God will teach you the truths of the Word of God, and He will show you the power and the strength of the precious blood. He will not have you to deny it. I hope you come by faith to Jesus, my friend. What are you going to do about Jesus?